Inside on Business, the news hour is made possible with support of the Strudelhaus, the Metro's only authentic Austrian cafe, bakery, and wine bar, strudelhaus.com. And Remax Real Estate Concepts, with offices across the greater Des Moines Metro. Find them at realestateconcepts.net.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you guys are hanging out with us this afternoon. In studio with us is Ben Godar. He is with the Des Moines Film Society, and we're going to learn together what that means. How I learned about Ben and the Film Society was through Dr. Tim Rice, who was here from the University of Iowa last week, and he was saying, hey, we bought some posters and had a great time. This is a cool thing, and you ought to get Ben in here. So we gave him a call. So thank you, Dr. Rice, for that, and welcome to the NewsHour, Ben.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So tell us, what the heck is it?
Well, the Des Moines Film Society is a film arts nonprofit here in Des Moines. So we just launched last October and officially got our 501c3 status last December. So we're a little less than a year old. And essentially, we're just a nonprofit that's solely dedicated to the art of film here in Des Moines. You know, as we looked at Des Moines and looked at kind of the real cultural explosion that's happened in the city over the last, 10, 15 years, however you want to count it, certainly... you have arts groups thriving. We got the art festival, of course,
sure, gearing going up. On this weekend.
Yeah, right outside the door. You've got a group like the Des Moines Music Coalition that's really done a lot to elevate the music scene, sure, here in Des Moines. And we felt like film has just kind of been left behind. There's film events and there's people who do kind of film things, but there was not a dedicated group focused on film. And so that's what we're seeking to be.
So film of yesterday, film of tomorrow. Film of today?
Sure. Well, broadly, our mission is just to grow the film culture in Des Moines, to grow the film scene in Des Moines. Okay. And there's kind of three areas that we look at doing that in. So, one is programming. So, bringing in real kind of arts-focused film programming, live events with filmmakers, etc. Secondly, education. We want to help educate people about film. And then lastly, we want to support local filmmakers, sure, when we can. So those are kind of the three prongs.
Yeah. There's another organization that we think a lot of, the 24-Hour Film Festival, mm-hmm, here in town. Yep. Those folks work really well among a great amount of people. That's mm-hmm an issue that happens once a year.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really the kind of the 800-pound gorilla, I think, in the, sure, local filmmaking scene here. Pretty much everyone I know, filmmakers I know, almost everyone participates or has participated at some point in time. And that's absolutely a great event. But again, it's a once-a-year event. It's, kind of focused on that weekend and everything.
Now, recently, and that's how Dr. Rice told me about this, you recently, yep, had a poster event. Tell us what that was all about.
Yeah, so that event is called the Lost Film Poster Art Show.
The Lost Film Poster. I thought that was a great idea. Go ahead.
Well thanks. And the idea basically is just that, throughout film history, there's been all of these film projects that were undertaken, went through some level of production, and just were never completed for one reason or another. And this includes, films from some of the greatest filmmakers of all time. They all had projects, oftentimes real passion projects, that they just could never quite get made. And so there's these kind of orphaned film projects that are out there that people have heard about. You can read about them. You can hear about them in interviews, etc. And we thought, well, wouldn't it be cool to get a bunch of designers together and have them design posters for some of these films that never were?
That never were.
Exactly.
So we don't have existing posters on these things.
No, because they were never completed.
Great idea.
Well, thanks. And it's, I think the neat thing about some of these lost films is, of course, we don't have the films themselves, but oftentimes the idea of them is really exciting. And so what's fun is to kind of, as you read about these lost films, your mind just kind of imagines, what would this have been like? One example, Alfred Hitchcock almost directed the first James Bond film.
Really?
Right. And didn't end up happening, but doesn't your mind just kind of wonder what would that have been like? Alfred Hitchcock kind of setting the template for James Bond. And there's just kind of example after example. One that's actually in the show that a designer chose, the book Confederacy of Dunces. Hollywood's been trying to make a film version of that for years and years and years. And there was one version that almost got made. It would have had Ivan Reitman directing and John Belushi and Richard Pryor in the cast.
Why?
And if you've read that book and you can imagine those actors in it, your mind just, it almost kind of creates the film. So the posters is just kind of a neat visual way to, kind of imagine on or dream on what these films would have been.
Well, so that was that one of your launching experiments?
Well, this, I mean, we...
How long have you been around?
Well, our launch event was actually last October. Okay. We showed the silent film Metropolis at Hoyt Sherman, and we had this touring group called Alloy Orchestra perform a live score with it. That's kind of what Alloy does, is they've created live scores for various silent films. And so they were here last October. So that was our launch event, and we've done several things kind of, you know, since then. This Lost Film Poster Art Show we just did, and, right. and are kind of continuing right now. And it's really been a hit, and so I think we're, you know, going to probably make it an annual event that we
have. There been lots of lost films?
There have. And it's funny you ask that, because when I kind of started approaching people with this idea, that was one of the first questions that everybody had was, well, how many are there? You know, I can, you know, you can talk about the, you know, the Hitchcock Bond film or whatever, but really how many have there been? And I said, and I kind of thought, you know, I really think there's quite a few, but I went out and did some research. And, you know, there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And having had a little bit of experience in the film industry myself, you know, you can see how it happens, because it's just such a difficult thing to get a film together. And there's so many moving parts. And so even for these, you know, really legendary, iconic film directors, you know, they had great ideas. They had these projects that just for one reason or another couldn't come together. You know, maybe they couldn't get the cast that they wanted together. Oftentimes, they had a very ambitious idea, and a film studio said, no, we're not going to spend that much money, you know, to make this film. So, I mean, there's literally hundreds of these, you know, films out there.
We're talking with Ben Godar. He is the executive director of the Des Moines Film Society. I think this is a fantastic conversation, because for those of you who are into film and into movies, you know, this is one of those kinds of organizations that you could really get excited about. Tell me, Ben, are there, with regard to what fails most of the time in movies? Is it that studios won't take on the role? They can't be self-funded. They're so doggone expensive to make. And has the ability for those of us who have cameras, and I you know, a good friend of mine shot an entire feature film on an iPhone recently, you know? So are those things possible, or can independent things still happen?
Yeah, I think they can. And I mean, just to give a little background on myself, I'm originally from Iowa, but move out to Los Angeles, went to film school out there, primarily focused on screenwriting. I've done some, you know, screenwriting work, you know, worked a little bit, you know, in the industry, as they'd say, and et cetera. So I've got a little bit of a window into
some. You're on IMBD, so that's cool.
Well, there you go, right? Yeah. It must be legit, huh? I tell you, my experience is close up with, filmmaking, and particularly studio filmmaking out there. I think before I was close up, I was much more critical of what you see coming out of, you know, particularly Hollywood, et cetera. The more, you know, I got to know people who work there and everything, what I tend to see is very, very smart people who are doing a difficult job. And I think just making a film, you know, making great films that, you know, also can, you know, make money and be financially viable and all that, it's tough. And there's certainly bad decisions that are made, and there's, you know, people, you know, pursue things for, you know, the wrong reasons. But, you know, I just keep coming back to, you know, film is such a complex piece to get, you know, to get done. Yeah. And, you know, as a writer, of course, I'm, you know, focused on writing, and a lot of friends who are writers have read a lot of great scripts that just never quite become great movies, because there's just so many steps that have to happen. You know, of course, you have to get the money, you have to find the cast, you have to have, you know, the director, you have to have all of the, you know, departments and everything. And you just, there's just so many things that have to go right for a great movie to happen. It's really almost a miracle when a great movie does happen.
There, back in the day, back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, the studios held great sway over their stars, over every single, even the names of the people that would appear in films. That has waned somewhat, and there's so many production companies. As a matter of fact, when the credits start to roll on any film, it's highly likely to see 5, 6, 7, 8 different names of production houses that I have never heard of before in my life. Yep. Is that necessity, because these things cost so much that you have to commingle?
Boy, that's a good question, and it's a little complicated. You know, those production companies you see, oftentimes there's one that was really the real production company that was driving things. And for one thing, the studios anymore are almost more like a bank than they are like a production entity. So it's really those production companies, you know, that are driving it, be it a big name like J.J. Abrams, you know, Bad Robot or Imagine Entertainment or, you know, on and on and on. They're usually the ones that are kind of driving things, and they're sort of involved in the creative work in the way that back in that golden age, the studio,
they were the boss.
Might have been. Yeah. So that's one thing that's kind of shifted down there. You know, when it comes to all those names too, you know, some of those companies are just financing companies, you know, so they gave money, but they get their logo there. Some of them are the sort of, you know, vanity production company of a star who's associated with it. And that's part of having the star in there. But I'm with you. I mean, when I watch a movie and I'm on like my third or fourth, like, you know, animated logo.
Yeah. Who are these people?
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah.
We're talking with Ben Godar, ladies and gentlemen. He is with the Des Moines Film Society. Now, there's been some talk and some rumbling here in Iowa about bringing back some, well, there is, it's already here, going out there and attempting to lure major production studios back into the state of Iowa. Any comment on that?
Well, I'm not, I mean, we're not directly involved in that. You know, it was certainly a real exciting opportunity, I think, for local filmmakers and film artists when the tax credit program was in operation. Sure. That was actually right at the time that I moved back to Iowa from Los Angeles.
Good timing.
Kind of in the midst of that. Yeah, it sort of worked out that way, I guess. You know, it's a tough thing, and people have definitely asked me and asked us, you know, well, do you think that particular program will come back? And I don't really know the political machinations of that. I do know that the filmmaking that happens outside of Los Angeles is driven almost 100% by tax credits. And so the states that have currently it's Georgia and still, you know, Louisiana and Michigan and places like that have some, but you know, it comes and goes as things like tax credits go. One thing we want to do is, you know, even if it's not on the scale of maybe the sort of Hollywood production, we want Iowa to be a viable place that a film artist can live and can make their work, you know. And that's not to say that they're going to be producing, you know, work that's going to be distributed on that, you know, big kind of world stage. But we want it to still be a place that, you know, someone who wants to make documentary films, who wants to make short films, you know, can do that. And so that's
you know, one of the goals.
That's one of our goals.
What's next for the Des Moines Film Society, Ben?
Well, you know, we're just continuing to look ahead at some programming. I guess I can, I mean, a couple of these things we haven't sort of officially announced yet, but I guess we'll kind of go ahead and mention them. Here we are. I think we're going to be bringing Alley Orchestra back to Hoyt Sherman this October, probably to do The General, the Buster Keaton film.
Oh, how fun.
Another show at Hoyt Sherman. Again, we haven't officially announced it yet, but I believe next March we're going to be showing Birdman, the Academy Award film from a couple years ago with Antonio Sanchez, the jazz drummer who played the score on that, live
Amazing.
In person playing that. So, I mean, those happen to be a couple kind of live music events that go along with that.
That's Ben Godar, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Ben, for coming in.
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
We'll have to have you back now that you're on our radar.
Thank you.
All right, we've got a scoot. Tyler Hackenmiller is saying, get out of here, guys. It's almost 6 o'clock. All right, for all of us associated with Inside on Business of the News Hour, for Ben and for earlier Chelsea, for all the crew, that would be Mark McDowell, who's the program director for the stations, Mary Sayer, the liaison for the Des Moines Radio Group between us and the Des Moines Radio Group. The voice of Inside on Business is Jimmy Olsen. The music that you're listening to, of course, is from James Goodlett. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.